Well, praise God for His grace. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 12. We left off at the end of chapter 11 last Sunday morning, Acts chapter number 12. Looks like we got a few folks in the second service who forgot to set their clocks. If you're listening, get out of bed. Amen. You know, I set mine about 6 o'clock last night. I knew what I was going to do this morning. I knew I was going to get up and go to church today. And I believe God wants us to get prepared, don't you? I believe that's part of our problem today, not just physically getting prepared, but spiritually prepared to come to the house of God and worship and hear what He has for us to hear. Give them a call this afternoon. Tell them to be here tonight. They don't want to miss tonight. All right, Acts chapter 12. Would you stand with me in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, now about that time, and that time when we finished chapter 11, there was a famine in the land. And about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to 4 quaternions, or 16 soldiers, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in the prison. You ought to circle this word and underline the next phrase. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound and chained to him. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hand. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not, or knew not, that it was true which was by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they had passed the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. I want to preach today on this subject, who opened the door. Our Father, we bow today thanking you for grace, saving grace, sustaining grace, keeping grace, wonderful grace. Thank you that it's unmerited, undeserved. All we can do is thank God, for He freely gives His grace. I pray today for folks in this congregation and across the airwaves that have never experienced saving grace, today would be the day. And Lord, today if they need sustaining grace, I pray you'll shower it upon them. And Lord, as we speak about Peter being locked up in a prison, Lord, folks today may not be in a literal prison, but Lord, they are in a prison of some sort. And today they need the doors to be opened. Today they need the chains to be removed. And today they need to follow the Lord and watch Him do something that only He could do. Holy Spirit, have the freedom to move in this place. I pray we wouldn't be getting up and going out and moving about. But for the next few moments, we'll center our attention on the Word of God. And Lord, Christians all over this building will be praying for those who know not Christ. And Lord, for themselves and for our church. And Lord, as we're talking a little bit about what the church needs, I pray with the altar calls given, we'll flood this altar and we'll obey God and we'll cry out to God for God to do something that only God could do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Who opened the door? The book of Acts is all about the Holy Spirit, and how the Spirit of God used the servants of God to advance His kingdom, went everywhere sharing the Word of God. We see in the book of Acts that the servants of God were empowered by the Holy Spirit, but we also see in the book of Acts that the enemies of Christ and the church were empowered by Satan and his forces to try to defeat and deter and destroy the Christians and therefore the church. The apostles often faced persecution, often went through trials and troubles. And I want to say today, you and I can expect no less. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. You'll find in this text another prison experience of the apostle Peter. He's now alone, chained to two guards. There are other guards standing at the door. They wanted to make sure Peter stayed in jail. Now, there's some folks who have trouble staying out of jail because of their criminal conduct. And they're just there over and over and over again. But not so with Peter. He had trouble staying out of jail, but it wasn't because of criminal conduct, but it was because of his Christ commitment. He would do what Christ wanted him to do, and therefore he ended up in jail over and over again. Now, there's some of these things in this text that I'm going to preach today that are hard to understand. Can I go on record today, and you already know it, but I want to say it out loud. There's some things in the Bible that are hard to understand, and some things we not understand until we get to heaven. Can you get amen right there? They're hard to understand. Let me give you a couple of verses that you may need sometime, if you don't today, maybe in your life. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Listen to Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, and who has been his counselor? Why, nobody can counsel God. Why, God asked Job one time. He said, "Job, where were you at when I created the world? Job, you're asking all these questions and think you know everything. Where were you at when I put it all together?" What is those texts saying, Pastor? Those texts are saying that our God is a big God. And I don't understand everything going on in my life. I don't understand everything going on in America or in the world. I've got a finite mind, and I'm limited in what I can understand. But I must find out what God wants, and I must trust Him. Notice two or three things real quick in this sermon. Who opened the door? Number one, I see the persecution in verses 1 through 3, instigated by old Herod. The religious crowd has always persecuted the church. I mean, from its very inception, the religious crowd was after the church. But now the government has took over. Herod is the king. Herod is the leader. And now he's going to bring havoc on the church. He wants to repress the church because the church is growing and making an impact. And Herod knows that his philosophy and his ideology is going to be turned upside down. And so he's wanting to do his best to stop the spread of the church. Can I tell you, ain't a whole lot changed in the day in which we're living. I want to tell you, the religious crowd still doesn't like the church that stands for Jesus, the truth, the life, and the way. There are even churches today where you can talk about God and you can talk about a lot of stuff, but don't come in there with Jesus and especially say he's the only way to get to heaven. But I want to declare fresh into you today, I might do it every week, but it's worth declaring every week. Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way. And he'll save anybody, anywhere, anytime that'll come on his terms. God will save them. Amen? And I want to say, not a whole lot changed. The government sometimes thinks they're doing good, and they absolutely do bad, even to those in the church. Notice with me two or three things. First of all, I notice the rudeness of the attack. Notice what he said in verse 1. Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. The word vex means to torment, means to oppress. It means to cause deep trouble. It reminds us that Satan is always opposing the church. And buddy, we better mean business in supporting the work of God if we're going to get anything done for the glory of God, because the devil means business. All these little boys and girls, all of our youth, and not just youth, but men and women, have been hoodwinked by the devil. There's demons on every corner. I know you say you're in broad and on the yard. Well, just read your Bible. I want to tell you, the Bible said there's going to be more activity as it gets toward the closest of the coming of Christ. And I want to tell you, the devil knows his days are numbered. He's doing his best to get our children and our youth to try to destroy them before they can make their impact for God. And let me go on record, as I did in the early service. I want to go on record. The greatest thing you'll ever do for your boys and girls is introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and not just by word of mouth, but by the life that you live, let your children see Jesus in you. And on Sunday, the most important place in this community, listen close now, the most important place in this community is the church of the living God. I'm amazed at church folks. I'm talking about been in church all their life. They know everything about the church. They know the Bible. Say they know Jesus. But buddy, when it comes to their boys and girls going somewhere else and doing something else on the Lord's Day and coming to the house of God, it's amazing how many times they put the church aside and do the other things. I'm telling you, without apology, you need your boys and girls in church every time the doors are open. Amen. Now, you're not going to hear that everywhere today. They need to be under the Word of God, because never before have our young people been attacked like they are today. And they need the sword, the Word of God, so when the devil attacks, they can fight not in their strength, but in the power of the Word and the Spirit of God. We better get serious if we're going to do anything for God. Herod, he attacks and he takes James and puts him to death. And now he goes, gets Peter, and he locks him up. He's got the same thing in mind for Peter. The devil knows where and who to attack. He goes after those who are causing him the most problems. That's why we ought to pray like never before. The rudeness of the attack, the relentlessness of the attack. This is Herod. His family's been used to bringing havoc upon God's people. Why? You will remember he's the grandson of Herod the Great. When Jesus was born, he said that all the little boys 2 years old and under ought to be put to death. He's following in the footsteps of his grandpa. He's just doing what the family has been doing all along. It's relentless. Folks, it's relentless today. The enemy never gives up. He knows he's sailing a sinking ship. He knows his battle. Hey, his war's already been fought, and Jesus whipped him all by himself. But he knows he can get to God's people. He can do great havoc. The rudeness of the attack, the relentlessness of the attack, the arousing of the attack. I'm talking about the inspiration of the attack. Look at verse 3. And because he saw how it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Herod was doing nothing more than playing politics. He needed the Jews on his side. He needed the Jews in his favor because he was the ruler. And he wanted to be re-elected. And as a politician would do, not a statesman, but as a politician will do, they'll do anything for anybody to get a vote. What we need is not politicians. We need some statesmen and stateswomen in this nation and in every state, in every county, in every city. Amen? Amen? Amen, Pastor. Herod illustrates us the peril of trying to please the ungodly. Herod sought to please men rather than please God. We get our priorities mixed up. Won't impress men. Won't impress those around us. But friend, one of these days, it'll be too late. We better do what we can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. We better lay up some treasures in heaven. The ridiculousness of the attack. Or the hypocrisy. Look at verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put in prison and delivered him to 4 quanturions, or 16 soldiers, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And here's what Herod was doing. There's a religious holiday going on. He's going to wait till after the religious holiday's over with, and then he's going to bring Peter forth. He doesn't want to antagonize the religious crowd per se. He wants to wait. And there's a lot of folks who act real good during religious holiday. Amen? You got these CEO Christians, Christmas and Easter on. Now I pray they come. I pray they come by the barrels full because we want to tell them about Jesus. Amen? Well, I saw it in a little, and if we don't do it this year, you make a note, we'll do it next year. I saw a church that on Easter Sunday, we don't want any absentees. And so what they did is the week before Easter, they're giving out golf tees. And the next Sunday, everybody in Bible fellowship is to bring their tea, so there's no absentees in Bible fellowship on that day. Pretty good thought. You order those teas, man. Order those teas. Get those. Hey, listen. A lot of folks, the religious holiday comes and they're there, but as soon as the season's over with, their religion, that's all that they have, and they go back to their evil ways. Hypocrites think they can live in sin and still be accepted by God. But let me tell you, folks, God doesn't look so much on the outside. It don't take that too far. I've heard folks say God doesn't care how you dress. That's a bunch of hogwash. That's what that is. God does care. We ought to be different after we're saved. Amen? It's not my message. So I don't want to go there. Hey, but God looks on your heart. You can look good on the outside. Jesus told them, said, you're a bunch of whited sepulchers. You look good, whitewashed on the outside, but you're full of dead men's bones on the inside. We better be right on the inside. Oh, there's the persecution, but move quickly. This is the main point of the message, the prayer. Look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Oh, Peter's in trouble. Peter's in trouble. Some of you today may be in trouble. All kinds of troubles. All kinds of prisons. And I pray maybe there's some folks listening or get this tape. We have folks who go to prison and minister every week, and I thank God for that. But maybe you're not in a 6x6 or 8x8 cell, but maybe you're in some kind of prison. Maybe by the making of somebody else. Maybe by your own making. And you feel just as locked up today as if you were in prison. And we're living today, church. We're living today, Christians, in times where we're in desperate need of God's help. We're like the little girl who was praying her nightly prayers. She prayed for her puppy. Now, kids pray for whatever's on their heart. If it's a tadpole, a fish, or a puppy, they pray. They're honest. She prayed for a puppy. She prayed for her toys. And she prayed for her friends and her mama and her daddy. And just before she said amen, she said, and Lord, be sure you take care of yourself, for if anything happens to you, we're all in a mess. And I want to tell you, that little girl had it right. Anything happens to God, we're all in a mess. The whole universe is looking on this little crew of believers praying, interceding for their chief apostle, their leader, their preacher. God looks down on it and says, what are they going to do? I want to tell you, the angels are peering over heaven. What are they going to do? I believe Hebrews chapter 12, that great cloud of witnesses are looking over heaven and saying, what are they going to do? You see, the real battlefield where the decisive events of time and history are decided are in that faithful group of followers who are on their knees praying without ceasing to God. I'm telling you, when the news got out that they locked up Peter again, the first thing they did was call a prayer meeting. It might do us well to pattern ourselves after the church. The first thing they did was to pray. And it speaks of praying earnestly. This is no casual prayer. This is no, now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. There's emotion in this prayer. There's urgency in this prayer. There's some serious praying going on. Believers need to respond to the problems, to the difficulties by prayer. And if we're not careful, listen, we'll act like the world does. And I want to tell you, until we get to heaven, we can act as worldly as a heathen. And I'm just telling you, you can be as mean and vile and as wicked as a heathen can. But we got to pray every day, God, I don't want to act like them. I want to act like you. And they began to pray. Now notice quickly, the church prayed faithfully. Over and over again in the book of Acts, the church prayed. They availed themselves to the opportunity to pray because they knew that's where the power was. Could I ask you, how faithful are you in your praying? The old black book goes way back. It says, ere, and if you young folks that means before, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Ere you came to church today, did you think to pray? Did you pray for the teacher? Did you pray for the music? Did you pray for the preacher? Did you pray for the usher? Did you pray before you come? I tell you what, you'll get a whole lot more out of church if you pray before you get here. See, if you wait till you get here, you got to catch up. You're behind when you start. So go ahead and get caught up before you get here. And when the first note, let's go, brother, you're ready to go on the first note of the instrument. You're revved up and ready to go. Over and over again, they prayed. Are you and I faithful in our praying? We're going to stay on our knees. Maybe you can't get on your knees physically. God knows that. Get on your knees in your hearts. God sees. God understands. We ought to get on our knees and pray until the answer comes. They prayed faithfully. But second of all, they prayed fervently. Prayer was made without ceasing. Means there was earnest, intense, agonizing prayer that was made. Same word that was used when Jesus was in Gethsemane. And the Bible said he prayed with great agony. It's the kind of prayer that puts your soul into it. Many times our prayers are lifeless. And most of the time our prayers are tearless. Most of the time, there's no agony in our praying. We need to pray that God would move. We ought to pray till the silence from heaven is refused, and pray like Jacob when he said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. I'll not give up until I see you do something. And they persisted in prayer. Real prayer gets hold of the hand and the heart of God and never lets go. Spurgeon said, groanings that cannot be uttered are often prayers that cannot be refused. Man, you get in your prayer closet and you prayed every prayer you know to pray. Read every verse you know to read. Sung every song you know to sing. Sometimes all you can do is groan in the Spirit. And let me just parenthetically say a word here. Man, that's the kind of praying you need to do in your prayer closet. That's not so much kind of praying needs to be done in public, because you're not careful. You like to do that for some man to hear you, and they'll think you spiritual. But when you get in that prayer closet and get in secret, and man, you can't talk. You've cried all you can cry. You've read all you can read. And maybe all you can do is sit there and groan. Hey, God understands the groaning of your spirit, and he may just intervene when he sees you in agony in your prayer time. But the church wouldn't give up. They put their heart and their soul in their prayers. Seemed like old Peter was doomed, man. Locked up, forgotten. But then, they not only prayed faithfully, fervently, they prayed fruitfully. Prayer does some unusual things. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. That means one person. Now you get several together, man, it's going to even get better. But the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Their prayer was answered in an unusual way, and some unusual things took place. You look at verse 7, God sent his door-opening angel down there. I mean, he can get them to do anything he wants to. And when he did, verse 7 said there was a light that shined in that prison. Now they didn't have electricity. I want to tell you, my friend, there were no lights in that jailhouse. It was dark. But when God wants light, all God's got to do is say, let there be light. And brother, if God says it, there will be light. And in that dark dungeon, the Bible says there was light. And then old Peter, so fast asleep, the angel had to nudge him to wake him up. Like some of you ladies had to do your husbands or your children this morning to get them out of it. Nudge them to get up. Their prayers brought an angel down. Now, I know you're going to think I'm embroidering on the yarn here, but listen to me. You know you can pray angels down? They're everywhere. The Bible says in Gethsemane, angels were there. The Bible says at Calvary that angels came and ministered unto Jesus. Second of all, prayers loose the chains that hold us back. what human power cannot do, prayer can do. Maybe you know a man or a woman this morning that's chained, shackled by sin. And maybe that man or woman that you know today is not somebody else, it's you. I mean, they're there just as sure if the handcuffs were on, just as sure if the chains were there, locked up in chains. You tried science, didn't do any good. Tried education, didn't do any good. Tried psychology, didn't do any good. But you turned to Jesus, and Jesus broke the chains of bondage, and Jesus set you free. I'm telling you, folks, go to Jesus. Stay with Jesus. Believe He's got the power to set your soul free this morning. Maybe you're praying for somebody else. No lock can exclude God when God wants to enter. Peter thought it was a vision, but he found out it was God. Prayer brings down angels. Prayer looses chains, and prayer opens doors. Look at verse 10. And when they were past the first and the second ward, and they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they were out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed. Prayer can open doors. Prayer can get you in places and out of places you could never get in and out of in your own strength. Today, oh, you're not locked up, but you feel hemmed in. You're like the children of Israel when they're going toward Canaan land and they see the Red Sea and the mountains and the desert and Pharaoh, and they felt hemmed in. I want to tell you, when you feel hemmed in, God's still able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could think or ask. Peter got out and he went to the prayer meeting. And the Bible said when he got there, he knocked on the door, and the girl came to the door and she didn't believe who it was. Went in there and told them. They didn't believe who it was. Went back again, still didn't believe him. And finally, Peter just kept knocking on the door until he convinced them, "I'm Peter, I'm the one you've been praying for." And buddy, when he got in there, they did not believe it. Now, it tells me two or three things. Number one, it tells me when I'm weak in my faith, sometimes God answers prayers anyway. You know how he does that? Because sometimes somebody else is praying for me. Oh, you and I need to pray and intercede for others. Our faith may be weak, but when others are bombarding the throne on our behalf, God can move on the scene. Let me ask you a heavy now. If I were to pass out pen and paper in the congregation today and go down every pew and ask you this question, when's the last time you had a prayer answered? And write it down specifically. When did you have a prayer answered? And write it down specifically. If not, what are we asking? Why not? Church, what are we praying? God, we've been asking for this. Why haven't you answered that prayer? Would it surprise you if God did it? God answers the prayers of His people. Look at verse 8 and 9. Don't miss this, and I'll just run to the finish line. Don't miss verse 8 and 9. Angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him. Peter did his part, and God did his part. Sometimes we're sitting around saying, "All right, God, I'm yours. You're this big, awesome, miraculous God. Do it." Listen to this preacher today. Most of the time, if not all the time, God doesn't work that way. If Peter had not by faith acted first, he'd have never got out of that jail and never got down to that city and never got to that prayer meeting. You say, what did he do? It's simple. It's simple. Most of the time it is. Notice what he did, verse 8. Number one, he arose, or he got up. Now, the angel didn't get him up. The angel just woke him up. But Peter had to get up. You say, that's not a profound thing. I agree with you. Most of the time it's the simple thing. He got up. And then he got dressed. Put on your garments. Get ready. We're leaving here. Listen. He got up. He got dressed. And the angel said, "Follow me." And thirdly, he got going. You say, that's not proper English. Well, it's proper theology. He got going, Brother Wayne. He got up, he got dressed, and he got going. A lot of us are sitting around saying, God, you do it, you do it. And God said, I'm wanting to. Mark chapter 2, when he saw their faith. John chapter 6, when the little boy gave him his lunch and transferred it to God, God transformed it. I've got to do what I can do, and when by faith I do it, then God can step in on the scene and do what I cannot do. We're living in desperate days, folks. You may not know how desperate it is. It's very, very desperate. And we don't need just a church meeting. We don't just need a sermon or a song. We need a prayer answering God to step on the scene and do something that all we can do is leave church and say, what a mighty God we serve. You say, settle down. I refuse not to settle down this morning. Hey, I told him in the first service, I want to come one Sunday morning, have 4 or 5 spells. I want people to come to me and say, preacher, I prayed for this, and God answered. I prayed for that, and God answered. I prayed for that, and I want to tell it to the devil. I want to tell it to God. I want to tell it to the saints, so that some of you that are hemmed in, locked up, and can't get out, know that what God's done for one, God can do for somebody else. Amen. God answers prayer. In prayer we meet God. Oh, heaven, we talk about being so far away, but He's just as close as the mention of His name. In prayer we move God. And if we want to see God move, then we must pray. God moves when we pray. Oh, the last thing I would have said was the peace. Oh, Peter got peace, man. He's asleep. In trouble, in turmoil, but he's got the peace of God. Why did they chain him to 16 soldiers? Why did 16 soldiers guarding him? Chained to 2, some at the door, at least 16 watching him. What are they afraid of? I don't know if they had hacksaws in that day. I don't know. Or drill. I don't know what they had. But they was afraid of something. Does that kind of remind you of something? They said they crucified my Lord. And when they crucified him, in fact, the Bible said the soldiers went by, and one of them took a spear, thrust it into his side, and out forth came blood and water. Another one came by who had the job of breaking the legs of the criminals to make sure they were dead, and they were sure that he was dead, and the Bible said he was dead. I want to tell you what, that's a well that's so deep, I hadn't been able to climb all the way down there. That's deep. Jesus died. I want to tell you, friend, that's theologically, however you look, that is very, very, he was dead. Now, here's the thing. If he's dead, then why do you place a stone over the sepulcher? Why do you put a seal over the stone? And why do you put all of those soldiers around? I'll tell you why. There's something that's different about Jesus. And even though they would not say it, even though they denied it, they know there was something different. And brother, I think even some of them unbelievers thought he may just do what he said he would do. And could I tell you, praise his name, on the third day, he got up in spite of the stone, in spite of the seal, in spite of the soldiers. He got up, and could I tell you, he's still up. Amen. You say, I don't like that kind of preaching. Go to a dead church then. Amen. Help me, choir. They don't want to help me. Hey, on the third day he got up, and he's still up. Amen. Well, you can shout like that at a ball game, and they don't think anything wrong with you. Amen. You can do that while you're playing tiddlywinks. They won't think anything of you. Hey, I'm talking about a risen, resurrected, reigning, returning Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen, Pastor. I'll tell you what. If I was somewhere, they'd help me preach. Listen. It looks like it's hopeless. I was going to quit, but I'm not. It looked like it was hopeless, but it wasn't. The days of Noah were tragic. I want to tell you, the rain came down and the floods came up and there was no way out. But listen, God's not done yet. The days of Abraham were full of idolatry, but God's not done yet. The days of the fiery furnace, it looked like it was over with for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but God's not done yet. The days of Elijah were filled with apostasy, but God's not done yet. When the children of Israel were carried into Babylonian captivity, it was grievous days, but God's not done yet. On the day that he died, the Bible said the sun refused to shine. It was dark, but God's not done yet. The persecution of the church and of his children are not finished. But listen, God's not done yet. I read in Revelation 19 that one of these days he's coming out of heaven and he's coming with his saints and execute judgment on this ungodly world. And the saints are going to rule and to reign. They'll be no elections when Jesus comes back. He will appoint who's going to be the leaders and the rulers. And when he comes back, friend, it's all over with. Could I tell you today, church, he's not done yet. So keep on praying. Keep on believing. God is able to do what we cannot do. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. What a Savior who hears and answers our prayer. Lord, sometimes I feel hemmed in. Sometimes I feel like I may be locked up. And Lord, that's when I need to pray the most. Lord, if the church ever prayed, we need to pray believing that God has, is, can, and will. Somebody today is praying to be delivered from sin. They don't think God loves them. They don't think they can be saved. God, today would you remind them nobody's so far gone that you still save from the guttermost to the uttermost. And a little boy, a little girl, man or a woman, who'll just say, Jesus, save me. Save me, Jesus. I've tried everything else. Save me. I pray, Lord, if you'll do it today. Pray for that one, Lord, that's been saved, never made it public. Lord, like that young student and that young boy in the last service, I pray today they'll get up, walk down this aisle and say today, preacher, I'm not ashamed of Christ. I'm coming today to say I've been saved. I pray for that one whom you're leading to join this church by letter, by statement, to yoke up with us, to help us be that lighthouse in this city. Bring them, Lord. I pray for those hemmed in, locked up. I pray for deliverance. God, my heart goes out to so many hurting folks in our church. The devil's beating them up. And Lord, he's lied. And Lord, they think there's no way out. Today, shine a light in their prison. Lord, today, open the doors of their cell and give them freedom. And tell them God's not done yet. One of these days, he'll finish what he started. Lord, have your way right now.